Hello again, class. This is Reverend Calhoun, continuing on our study of the spirit of pride. We're going to go into session two on pride. We're actually, class is the spirit of honor, but we're keying in on pride and how pride can cause you to walk in dishonor. Amen. All right. I want to start by saying currently there's been a global resurfacing or awakening of the apostolic office of the apostles in the church. The apostleship is a divine office that has not died out with the last apostle of the Lamb, John. The apostleship has its roots embedded in the great apostle, who is Jesus Christ. This office of the apostle is bringing the church back in alignment with the will, purpose, and the vision of the Lord for the establishment of God's kingdom. This is one of the primary functions of an apostle, to bring forth the reality of the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, according to Matthew 6 and 10. And so I'm saying all of this to let you know that pride will keep people out of alignment and back in God's original order that he intended for it to be from the very beginning. Okay. We are coming to understand the generalship of the office of the apostle and how this office in the church, the office of the apostle, is first in rank and importance and necessity in the church for the kingdom of God. As you know, a general in the army might be over a whole platoon or a whole base, you know, a whole region. Well, same in the spiritual realm with an apostle. And it's so very important that we know how to align ourselves properly with apostolic order, you know, and to make sure that pride does not come into play and keep us out of that alignment. Okay. All ministry gifts should take their direct marching orders from the office of the apostle. Even the prophet can get, off base if he's not in alignment properly with apostolic order. Satan has caused division through the spirit of pride, causing many spiritual leaders not to yield and submit to God's government that he has established through alignment with the apostles. And that's one of the things we're changing in this culture, in this atmosphere, is showing people how to walk in honor and how to submit properly and not to let the spirit of pride come between them and their God-given spiritual fathers or our apostles. The anointing, as I stated once before, always flows down to every part of the body of Christ. This is why you have to position yourself properly. Amen. Stay in alignment. A car that's out of alignment, a vehicle that's driven that the alignment is bad, you have to keep your hands on the wheel to keep it straight. I remember several years ago, we had a little get together and I borrowed somebody's car to run to the store to get some things for the thing because my car was four or five cars deep in all the cars that were there. So I took his van. And the minute I turned on the street, I loosely held the steering wheel and I was going straight for the ditch because his alignment was so bad. So one of the things I had to, you know, force it to the left because it was going right. I had to force it to keep it to go straight. You know, you want to stay in alignment, spiritual alignment to apostolic government. That's so very important. Pride will cause you to go forth in ministry before properly being commissioned or sent out. And that's so very important. I didn't read the scriptures, but back in Acts 13, where they were all in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon and Niger and Cyrene and Lucius, and also with Saul. And as they ministered and fasted, the Holy Spirit said to me, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them out. It's so very important that you're sent out in ministry and not went out into ministry, because pride will send you out, but humility will you know, commission you and align you properly and at the proper time send you out. Amen. All right. Just like a McDonald's franchise, before you are awarded a McDonald's franchise, not only are you checked out financially, but the location, the demographics, how many cars pass in front of that street every 24 hours, they do a study to make sure that that McDonald's is going to be successful. Very seldom do you ever see many McDonald's closing. If they close, they close to tear down to build another one either at that same location or right down the street. That's why McDonald's is such a successful franchise. Well, in ministry, you want to be successful. You want to be sent out by apostolic government and have all the proper credentials and been properly trained to execute ministry before you're out. Because I'm not going to say it's not as easy as you think, but the work has to be done first to make sure that it is successful. Amen. All right. A person influenced by the spirit of pride will demonstrate these three characteristics. Number one, stubbornness, steadfastness, not changing. They don't want to change. They're steadfast at what they want, not wanting to change. That's number one. Number two, inflexibility, unwilling to change, not able to bend, having a stiff neck, unyielding or unbending attitude. Inflexibility. They're fixed on what they want to do. And the next one, and all of them run together, hardness of heart. Okay, a hardness of heart is not being sensitive to God. We talked about this last week. A callous heart that cannot penetrate, that cannot be penetrated, is real hard. Cannot hear God's voice. You know, that's so very important. So a person influenced by the spirit of pride will demonstrate these characteristics: stubbornness, inflexibility, and hardness of heart. Amen. In the book of Job, God asks Job several questions, and we're going to go through some of them, not all of them, but Job 41, where God talks about Leviathan and pride, and he asks Job, you know, in Job 41, 1 and 2, it says, canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou feathers down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose or bore his jaw through with a thorn? The Amplified Bible to that same verse of scripture, Job 41, 1 and 2 says, can you draw out Leviathan, the crocodile, with a fish hook, or press down his nose with a cord? Can you put a rope into his nose or pierce his jaw through with a hook or a spear? These are questions God asked Job. They all show man's inability to dominate the spirit of Leviathan or pride on his own and in his own ability. And that's the point I want to bring out, that in your own strength and in your own ability, when you're completely engulfed with pride, it's hard to come out. The only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan or pride is by the anointing of God, and only if we humbly recognize that we are powerless without Jesus. Read that again. The only way to defeat the spirit of pride or Leviathan is by the anointing of God, and only if we humbly recognize we are powerless without Jesus. And that's so very important. We must humbly yield to God's anointing and recognize that, hey, Lord, without you, I cannot do nothing. And that's one of the reasons why. And a lot of students over the years would say, yeah, I really appreciate you saying, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'm gonna fall flat on my face. Because I'm not leaning on my own ability. Because I might have even stated this. When I first started teaching some 10 years or so ago, and I would leave the ministry to go back to my house, get in my car, I would say, Lord, I don't feel like I'm capable. I have the resources or the talent or the ability to teach these classes. You know, I almost wanted to say, Apostle, I don't think I can do this. But God says, well, in your own strength, no, you can't. But in my strength, you can. So yield and submit and humble yourself to me. So I always try to always say, Holy Spirit, I'm expecting you to show up. Because if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. And I'm leaning and trusting on God. We are powerless without Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Humbleness and humility begin by recognizing our limitations and our dependency upon God. Arrogant people do not depend on God, you know, as their source for survival. They do not seek God's help to achieve their goals. They rely on their own strength to obtain their heart's desire, you know, or their limited abilities. A person influenced by the spirit of Leviathan does not consider prayer an important part of their life. They do not consider prayer an important part of their life. And the reason being is because they have their minds already made up. In Job 41:3, it says, the spirit of Leviathan, more commonly known as pride. I'm trying to find that exact verse. Okay. Job 41:3 says, wilt thou make any many supplications unto thee? Will thou speak soft words unto thee? In other words, you know, are you going to pray? And basically, a person with pride, they're not going to pray. They're not going to offer up supplications. They're not going to speak soft words unto God. Why? Because they don't feel like they need it. The spirit of pride, more commonly known as Leviathan, is an obstacle to prayer. People who find it hard to pray are bound under the influence of Leviathan. I remember years ago, we were asked to talk to a young lady who was doing some things at church that Apostle did not authorize. He doesn't want people coming in with their own agenda, promoting their business or whatever. And she was doing some of those things. So we pulled her off the side, one prayer meeting, brought her in a room, and we spoke to her. And we firmly told her what Apostle wishes were. And basically Apostle said, you know, now this is grace. He said, he told me to tell her that he could have done it, but he said, I'm going to let one of my master life bearers do it. And I'm hoping that you get it straight. So at the end of the little meeting, we prayed. And it was about five or six of us. And as I began to pray, everybody's eyes were closed and their heads were bowed. I kind of looked up briefly at her. Her eyes was wide open and she was just looking around like, I ain't receiving none of this. You know, you can pray as much as you want. I'm going to do what I want to do. She eventually left the church, to say the least, you know, and did try what she was doing one more time. And I actually caught her in the act and reported her to Apostle, and he kicked her out of the church. But that's what pride will do. That's what pride will do. Amen. It will not accept prayer. Arrogant people are unable to understand the need and the importance of prayer because they usually make their own way and their own decisions. Humble people recognize the need to seek God and to pray because they recognize it is impossible to live without Him and be victorious. In Him, I live and I move and I have my being. Not my will, but thy will be done. However, those who are arrogant make decisions without seeking God's will through prayer because they consider it unnecessary. I'll never forget two prayers I prayed right around the end of my college career that I think kind of catapulted my life because I was sincere with God and I knew my life was about to forever change after college and I knew I needed His direction. The first prayer, I think I took a day off, went to a park found some bushes that I could kind of hide myself under. And I just prayed in the Holy Spirit for hours, seeking God's will for my life in the direction. My professors wanted me to enter into grad school, but I just didn't feel it in my heart. So I just prayed and I humbly submitted myself and said, Lord, I just thank you that your will is going to be done in my life and that you give me the direction that I need. And the second prayer I prayed was, Lord, send me the perfect mate, somebody whose heart was after your heart and who loved you for who you are and didn't love you because of me, but because they loved you primarily. And both of those prayers were answered. And God directed my path in ways that kept me where I'm at so that I can be here today. If I wouldn't have prayed those prayers, I could have married anybody and could have been anywhere. But God kept me and he's faithful. Amen. But you got to humbly submit yourself to God to get your prayers answered. I know people who was in God's will, but because of pride, they got out of God's will. God is not obligated to bless what he did not ordain in your life or when you are out of order and not following protocol. You know, and I've seen that happen to people. And it hurts when I see somebody fall out of God's divine plan for their life. Psalms 10 and 14 says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. We'll read it again. Psalms 10 and 4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. All right. Job 41, and I guess verse 4 says, will thou make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him as a servant forever? In other words, you know, are you going to make a covenant and then become a servant in a prideful state? The spirit of pride does not make covenant with anybody because it has an independent spirit, and independent people don't make covenants, because a covenant is designed to eliminate weaknesses in your life. A person who walks in the spirit of pride don't think they have any weaknesses. They think they can do it all on their own. Prideful people don't want to eliminate weakness because they don't think they have any. You know, they can do it on their own. It never submits or serves anybody. Pride is an obstacle for those who enter into a covenant or friendship or sonship. People under the influence of the spirit of pride work as long rangers. They ride along, don't like to take orders. In other words, they do not serve well under spiritual covering because they do not like to submit, fall under the mission of another. Luke 16 and 12 says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So if you don't want to submit and fall under the mission of another man, don't expect to get nothing of your own. But a prideful person just decides, I'm going on my own anyway. Like I said, a covenant is a pledge, a vow, a mutual agreement between two or more parties to honor and obey the terms and the condition of the agreement. A covenant is the strongest contract known to man, and it is an agreement unto debt. It's designed to eliminate weaknesses. Often people choose divorce, which is a covenant, a marriage covenant, because they are influenced by the spirit of Leviathan, which makes people unable to forgive and humble themselves. Hence, the reason why they prefer to dissolve a marital union rather than admit their mistakes and work it out. They break that marriage covenant. Amen. Pride says, I'm right and you're wrong. Pride blinds people's eyes. It makes them unable to receive or to walk in the covenant they have through the blood of Jesus. Amen. It makes them unable to receive accurate, godly revelation and impartation. They have no sensitivity to God, a person that walks in pride. Amen. Also in Job 41 and 4 says, wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Pride does not want to serve. It wants to lead. Okay. A servant of Christ is a believer that serves people. If you want to serve, pride will prevent you from serving and submitting properly. You will have an ulterior motive and your own agenda. Amen. Humbleness is required for a person to serve. Pride is not going to walk in humbleness. Pride always wants to be on top and in control. A person who is full of pride wants the entire world to submit to them. Amen. A major problem among leaders and believers today is a lack of submission to authority. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under somebody who they consider less knowledgeable or who has served less time in ministry than them. If you're experiencing a difficult time submitting or serving others, people, this is an indication that you are under the influence of Leviathan and are walking in pride. So you'll want to check yourself on that. Amen. Jesus, as I stated earlier, was the ultimate example of godly humility and humbleness. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Humility took Jesus to the cross. That's why God so highly exalted him. Amen. You know, submitting to the will of the Father. Amen. Pride is always controversial. Okay. Job 41:8-9 says, "Lay your hands upon him. Remember the battle with him. You will not do such an ill-advised thing again. Behold, the hope of the assailant is disappointed. One is cast down even at the sight of him." Pride will fight against you on every side. An important word of advice to remember is never argue with a prideful or an arrogant person. Disagreements and arrogant people have a beginning, but no end, simply because bickering is part of their lifestyle. It's inside them. It's a heart issue or a soul issue. He delights in knowing that the person who dares to oppose him is shredded to pieces. Controversial people and arrogance of the word teaches that God resisted the proud. James 4:6, "But he gives more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So God will resist the prideful person, but he gives grace to somebody who walks in godly humility. Okay, one of the things I want to point out, too, is that the spirit of pride, it protects itself with other spirits that serve as impenetrable shields. Remember I said pride kind of gets in the back, but he'll have some other influencing things in your life to kind of shine and manifest itself. So it disguises itself, but the root of it is pride. It says in Job 41:15, "His scales as his pride shuts up together as with a close seal." These protective spirits must be dealt with before try to rebuke the greater spirit, of Leviathan or pride. Some people are unable to receive deliverance from the spirit of Leviathan or pride because of his kingdom of protection by shields in that person's life. The spirit of Leviathan hides behind. Some of those things, as I said earlier, could be anger, could be contention, could be bitterness, envy, could be strife, jealousy, hatred, fear. Pride is the root of it all. Praise God. Mm-hmm. He uses these other spirits to hide behind and protect himself. This spirit operates in people influenced by the spirit of pride. Oftentimes, people will justify their pride. They constantly raise barriers which prevent them from exposing their real emotions to others or the real issue that's causing this lack of submission. They do not want to give their heart to anyone. They make matters worse. People influenced by the spirit of Leviathan are blinded and unaware to the fact that they are operating in pride. through their lives. Amen. All right. The spirit of pride is eliminated by walking in godly humility. The spirit of pride is eliminated by walking in godly humility. Listen up. To defeat the spirit of pride, you must walk in true humility and recognize that you are powerless without the Holy Spirit, that through the grace given to us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So the spirit of pride is eliminated by walking in true godly humility. And to defeat the spirit of pride, you must walk in true humility and recognize that you are powerless without the Holy Spirit, that through the grace given to us, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Humbleness means to recognize our humanity, that we are basically mere humans outside Christ. We can do nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things that strengthen us, you know, and that's the stance we want to take as Christians, that, you know, I'm walking in humility. I can't do anything in my own ability, you know, and granted, God gives us talents and abilities, but we yield those talents and those abilities over to Him. He takes it, puts His anointing on it, and magnifies it in ways that we can't even fathom. You know, one of the things that really blessed me is when students come to me and they're able to quote whole phrases or passages that I said in these classes and let me know how that statement, that phrase, that expression that I said changed their lives and put them on the right course. Back with their parents, back with their wives, back with their pastors, back with their apostle, you know, it humbles me, you know, but I know I'm not doing it in my own strength. I'm doing it in His ability. This one man, good friend of mine, in fact, he just left my house a couple of days ago. I remember years ago when he didn't want to submit to apostle, to LTMA. He was hanging around because he knew there was something here for him, but he was letting too many issues cloud his judgment. And now his focus is right on, spot on, and he's serving God, and he can care less what other people think, which has been a blessing to see that transformation over the last couple of years, to see humility, the humility that he has. You know, humility helps us identify who we are and without exaggeration of ourselves beyond measure, and lets us recognize our dependency on Christ. And that's so very important. Stay small in your own eyes. I shared that with him a couple of weeks ago, and that stuck with him. Humbleness is not a decision, but the recognition of who you are, recognizing our value in God, makes us truly humble. When you recognize your value in God, that should make you very humble, because, I mean, I'm humbled to be an instructor. I'm humbled to be a member of LTMA. I'm humbled to be a member of Word of Life Christian Center. I'm humbled. And I don't take it lightly. I walk lightly as a barefooted feet priest when I minister, because I want everything to be accurate and precise as possible. Recognize I can make mistakes, but humbly, Lord, I want to stay on track and stay on course. Amen. And that's so very important. Humbleness is, like I said, is not a decision, but a recognition of who you are. Recognizing our value in God makes us truly humble. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. An Amplified Bible of that same verse says, I've been crucified with Christ, or in him. I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith. in adherence and allegiance and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Corinthians 15 and 10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but grace of God, which was with me. Amen. Hallelujah. You humbly walk in that grace. Proverbs 15 and 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Let me pause right there. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So when you fear or reverence God, it's the instruction of wisdom. That's where wisdom comes through. And before honor is humility. So this class is called the Spirit of Honor. So to walk in honor, humility must come first. And the fear of the Lord must be there to get the instruction of wisdom to walk in honor. Amen. All right. And I think I've shared this scripture already, but I'm going to read it again because I'm a person of repetition. This comes from the Message Bible out of Proverbs 18 and 12. It says, first pride, then the crash, first pride, then the crash. But humility is the precursor to honor. Humility is the precursor to honor when you walk in humility. But when you walk in pride, then comes the crash. But with humility, the precursor to humility is honor. All right, Proverbs 18 and 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. I mean, that sums it up right there. Before destruction, the heart of a man's heart is haughty. We talked about what haughty, arrogance, and pride is. And before honor is humility. So haughtiness, pride, and arrogance are diametrically opposed to humility and honor. You know, what we want is to walk in humility and honor. Amen. That's so, so very important. Pride is the greatest obstacle that prevents us from receiving the revelation of God's word. I said many spirits are related to the spirit of Leviathan. They include anger, rebellion, lying, independent spirit, and more. Prideful people experience difficulty if they do not repent. Humility and service to others overcomes and defeats pride. Okay? Proverbs 22 and 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Proverbs 22 and 4 again. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. So, so very important. Amen. 1 Peter 5 and 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud, but he gives grace to the simple. He gives grace to the humble. So here we see the differences between Leviathan and pride and humility. You know, and I wanted you in these two classes to understand the importance of not walking in pride. And if there's any pride anywhere, any kind of way in your life, get it out by humbly, you know, walking in humility and allowing the anointing of God to drive that pride out. Because you're never going to grow. You're never going to be what God wants you to be. You're going to always have resistance in yourself because of pride. It could be, you know, you having a pridefulness towards your parents because of a situation, you know. Get rid of it. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Again, never again. But allow the Spirit of God to cleanse you and the anointing of God to release you of pride and walk in godly humility. that will destroy pride everywhere. The Lord can deliver us from the spirit of pride, but we gotta let him. Amen. Proverbs 22:4, and I read it earlier. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Amen. Amen. God resists the proud and he gives grace to the simple. 1 Peter 5:5, the B part. But one of the key scriptures that I just read a little while ago, and I thought it was very, very important that we understand that. Let me find it right quick. Give me a second here. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You know, before honor is humility, walking in godly humility. Just go over a few things right quickly. To defeat the spirit of pride in our lives, we must walk humbly through the grace or the anointing given to us, not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Remember that. That's important. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Before destruction, you know, in other words, before you fall and crash and burn, the heart of a man is haughty with arrogance and pride. But before honor is humility. Amen. A person controlled and influenced by the spirit of pride in Leviathan demonstrate these three characteristics: stubbornness, inflexibility, and hardness of heart. And that hardness of heart is your heart is so hard that you can't hear. That spirit of Leviathan wraps itself, and I say heart, but I really mean soul, wraps itself around your soul to where, you know, even though God is speaking, you can't hear because it's wrapped so tight. And that's why I think in scripture they use the symbolism of a serpent, a withered serpent, a sea creature that's long and can wrap and coil itself around you. You know, because that's what that demonic spirit of pride does to your heart or to your soul. It wraps you and it calls you up to where you can't hear God, you know, and it's almost impenetrable. You have to humble yourself and submit yourself to the anointing of God to break free of that spirit of pride. Amen. The only way to defeat Leviathan pride is by the anointing of God and humbly recognizing that you are powerless without Jesus. The only way to defeat the spirit of Leviathan or pride is by the anointing and humbly recognizing that you are powerless without Jesus. A person influenced by the spirit of Leviathan does not consider prayer an important part of their spiritual life. Why? Because they don't think they need it. They think they you know, like I said, when we prayed that day, the young lady opened her eyes and just kind of looked around. This don't pertain to me. I don't need this, you know. And I've seen personally how pride can keep people who should be members here and people who should be serving in this ministry, kept them away because of pride. Something happened. They didn't get it straight. They didn't let the sun go down on their wrath. Pride got in, wrapped themselves around them, and then they're caught in that spirit of pride even to this day. It can change and affect your life. It can shorten your life. You don't want to, believe me, you do not want to walk in the spirit of pride. You know, it will keep you from walking in honor. And this class is designed to share with people and to let people know that how important it is to walk in the spirit of honor. And don't allow pride to hold you back. You know, release it and let it go and begin to walk in godly humility, which will cause you to walk in the spirit of honor. I'll see you next week. Don't forget, we're having Prosperity Revival that's coming up next month, I think the 4th through the 8th. Try to be here at Word of Life or be here online. God bless. Amen.